We're studying in the book of Malachi, as your cheat sheet would tell you. Did everybody get a copy of an outline that we won't follow? I'm in an outline of our study. Got one in red. We'll do something we did several weeks ago when I had a short book. I want to read it. It takes a little bit of time, but that's really what the Lord has given us, time. That's what life is made of. And we'll utilize that to the reading of His Word. Book of Malachi, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, thou shalt build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible, nor despised. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among us that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weirdness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame and the sick, this you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the nations, among the heathen. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not bound or found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law of his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. You caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. You wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You've said it's vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance, and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set upon, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves in a stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded you in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Book of Malachi, a lot of lessons there. Just notice we're saying, hold to God's unchanging hand. And verse 6 of chapter 3 says, For I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. Like somebody said, if it seems like to you that God is far away from you, God hasn't moved. God hasn't moved. Remember the book of James said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. That's basically what Malachi says too. Okay, look at our outline. We won't have to look at it as deeply because we have the real thing instead of an outline. The author's Malachi referred to it, or meaning my messenger. In chapter 1, verse 1, it doesn't mention my messenger, but it says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I think some of the translations have a little bit different wording there in that first verse, but the date is somewhere around 445, they surmise. I've never figured out yet how they go backwards from the time of Christ's time on this earth, and because you couldn't find a coin back in 435 B.C. that had 435 B.C. on it, unless you had somebody that could really tell time. Nobody knew when Jesus was coming exactly. This was between the first and second visit of Nehemiah to Jerusalem, one writer says, as they came back from Babylonian captivity. biblical background for this area of the Bible in Malachi can be found in Ezra chapter 7, chapter 7 through chapter 10, and also the book of Nehemiah. Together with Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi is a prophet during that post-exilic, that after the period of exile in Babylon, that period of time. Outline of the book, I think I've got it on yours and pretty just as detailed as I got it. God loves his people, chapter 1, 1 through 5. Look at chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. That's all I'll say, because that's what it says. God loves his people. If you read all those verses, that's the subject of that. In chapter 1, verse 6 through chapter 2 and verse 9, God condemns the faithlessness of the priests. Again and again, he tells about the difficulties, about the problems of the priests. Remember, the priests were supposed to be spiritual leaders. They were the ones that were offered up sacrifice to God on behalf of the people. And if you're a priest, and in some periods of time in the Old Testament, even the prophets were going sour, so to speak. This would be their leadership. And as go the leaders, so go the followers, so go the groups, the people of the time, many times. Although many of these prophets had great messages, but just didn't have anybody that would listen. They heard, but they would not listen. Number C on our outline, or let me see what my computer did to you. Yep, computer, read with me. It got C. God condemns illegal marriages. Evidently, these individuals, many of them, were marrying women of foreign origin who worshiped strange gods, and as time went on, they also were getting rid of them, divorcing them. God condemns them because of that. Even though they made that mistake, so to speak, in quotes, did what God had told them not to do, once they made that covenant was to last. God condemns indifference, chapter 2, 17 through chapter 4, verse 3. I was listening to the radio on the way home this morning, and a preacher of some persuasion was talking about this very subject. He said he thinks that's the biggest problem that faces all of Christianity, indifference. And I think he's probably right. Apathy. Too many Laodicean congregations of various and sundry people that call themselves Christians. And that's why we can be attacked on so many sides and so many hands these days. Because really, no one totally is standing up for Christ and just standing up for God. If they knock prayer out of school, that's all right. I mean, we let a few lawyers knock us down. Maybe we don't want prayer in the school for fear somebody will have the wrong kind of prayer. I don't know. But it seems like everybody wants equal time. We're going to become the minority one of these days in this country. We're quickly becoming that already. God makes one last appeal to the law, chapter 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. That was their problem. They were not remembering it. Again and again throughout the history of God's people, as evidenced in the various prophets, especially the minor prophets that we read, and also the major prophets. God's people would be up for a while if there was a good king and some good priests, and then they would go down and stay down for maybe generations of people. And then suddenly somebody would find a book. Oh, here's the book of God. And maybe someday somebody's going to have that happen in this country. And they'll find the Bible again. And they'll say, oh, here's the book of God. These are the instructions that come along with man. This is how we're supposed to work. This is how we're supposed to be put together. Spiritually, mentally, physically. We'll all work together. God points to the coming Elijah, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. This is a prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist, one who would be the prepare the way for Jesus Christ. The message of the prophet. He found the people apathetic. They, one prophet spoke of the people as being settled on their lees, kind of lackadaisical, not hot, not cold, but lukewarm. We get the picture of the Laodicean church. We need to make application wherever it applies as we go along. They were going through poverty, they were going through hard times, and they were blaming it on God. They were questioning God. We're going to get into that too, the method of the book. That's what really caused me to read this tonight, even though it took probably 13, 14 minutes to read it, because of the way that the prophet approached the subject matter. They questioned God, though. Malachi placed the blame where it ought to be, right on their own shoulders, right on their own sins, their own iniquity. It was a sin of the people that was that which separated them from God, as Isaiah had said at an earlier time in Isaiah 59:1-2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Some teachings of the book. Vast difference between true priest and a false priest. I believe that's what I got. False priest, truth, yeah. And I've got a few more points than you've got there on your outline. Chapter 1, verse 6, over there, where the priest despised the name of God. You know, they ought to know that they're not going to get by with that. They're the priests. I mean, their fathers, their grandfathers were bound to have told them what they were supposed to be doing, what their jobs were, and it wasn't to despise the name of God. They offered polluted sacrifices, chapter 1, verse 7, and they didn't even believe that that was anything wrong with that. And I got a little humor from verse 8 says, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Give a bounce check to the government for your taxes at the end of the year. See how far that goes, says a fellow that you gave the check to that might have bounced. You know, give it to Metro if you're in Metro. See if they'll accept it for your payment of your property taxes or something. He said, that's what you're offering me, God says. You're giving me something that's worthless. You're giving me less than your best, and you're calling it your best. And you don't know why it's not your best. Chapter 2, verse 8. They were causing many people to stumble. See, not only these priests were in a position where people were seeing them. Ye are departed out of the way. You caused many to stumble. As preachers, as teachers, as elders, as deacons, as fathers, as mothers with children that are very easily influenced, we're going to be held responsible just as these priests were held responsible because they caused people to stumble. And they're going to know, where have we caused you to stumble? Where these people to stumble, you know. Mealy mouth. And they show respect to persons, chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you've not kept my ways, and you've been partial in the law. I don't know in what way they were partial, but they might apply it to Jerry because he had money, and Don because he might have been, his clothes were a little ragged or whatever, and they might treat him differently. True priests, chapter 2, verse 5. My covenant was with him, that is with Levi, from back in verse 4, with him of life and peace. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now, I don't think he was up there, you know, trembling like this. It was a reverence and awe before God, respect. And you can see throughout the book, the people were not respecting God. They were disrespecting God. I don't think there's a word, but they were disrespecting God. They were disrespecting. Chapter 2, verse 6, first part. Next point. That the true priests were the ones that had truth and righteousness on his lips. The law of truth was in his mouth. And that's as far as I go with that one there. Walks in peace and righteousness, right next on in verse 6, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, or peace and uprightness, the next point of the true priest. And in chapter 2, verse 6, the last part, did turn many away from sin. That's the purpose of preaching, is to lead people to Christ and to turn people away from sin. And that was what some of their priests were doing, but not many of them. That's what the true priest was supposed to be doing. Chapter 2, verse 7, had a knowledge of God. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law in his mouth. For he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. I mean, if a fellow that's preaching or teaching does not have the truth coming forth from his mouth, then of what value is that person? It's profitless as far as the spiritual growth of that individual. The sins of the people, their worship was routine, but not only routine, but as one writer put it, it was spiritless routine worship. That's pretty bad. It's like ritual. It's like forgetting what you're doing as you partake of the Lord's Supper. Forgetting that it's God's Word being read as you think about something else that's going to happen later in the afternoon. And we do that. I know I do it. If I'm not careful when I'm sitting in a group listening to somebody talk, it's easy. We like to blame it on the attention deficit disorder, I think, what we like to call it. A lot of things are grouped with kids and with adults under that, which is nothing but hogwash. It's people not wanting to pay attention. We live in a world of gadgets. And if we don't have the next gadget, we're not going to be satisfied. And it's got to be faster, quicker, speedier, and smarter. And if it's not that quick, I mean, just like now on our TV, if we see a good movie, we record it. Well, boy, you couldn't do that years ago. One reason we couldn't do it, because we didn't have a TV. We didn't have a recorder. But see, you can leave out the commercials. Oh, you can just move right on through. A two-hour movie doesn't literally last about an hour and what? Less than an hour and 30 minutes if you do it that way. So you don't ever have to watch TV, you just watch movies. Or whatever. If you like to record the news, you can record the news, listen to it an hour later. The 6 o'clock news at 7. But you don't have to listen to it as long. You save time. I'm seeing. And the time saved can be time spent reading the Bible. Alright. Go away with that tonight. Evil associations, chapter 2, 10 through 12, just mentioned, they married the daughter of a strange god. That's about as strange an association as you can get, is to marry somebody that's totally, I mean way totally out of what you believe. And you get those two in the same house, you've got some difficulties. I mean, you get a male and a female in the same house, and you've got enough difficulties going through life as you find that you have to resolve. But these people had these associations that God told them, don't you go into the land and marry the people, intermarry with the people of the land. And boy, Solomon didn't get that, did he? He wasn't there that day that memo was issued. I tell you, or that email was sent out, or that tweet that was Twittered. He just wasn't there. They questioned the justice of God. Chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say that everyone that doeth evil is good in sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, and where is the God of judgment? Well, one of these days, folks, we're going to meet the God of justice. Chapter 3, verse 7. These people were not only forgetting God in the ways that's been mentioned, but they were robbing God. And then it said, well, wherein have we robbed you? And God says, I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad you asked the question. I've got the answer. In your tithes and your offerings and what you've given to me. I was telling somebody this morning that with our air conditioner problems and whatever, somebody might remember a land sale they had a few years ago and suddenly remember that they didn't give anything to the Lord out of that. Well, they got money out of their IRA for so-and-so, so-and-so. And they didn't give any. That has not been taxable. You probably didn't pay taxes on that because a lot of times, they give contribution on that. Something to think about. God hasn't said, I just want a certain amount of the money you make down at your job or out of your Social Security check. But we're supposed to give, but we've been prospered. Sometimes we're prospered in capital gains as well as regular income. That's in chapter 3, 7 through 12. I won't read that again, but that question, will a man rob God, yet you rob me in tithes and offerings? I realize, as was mentioned this morning, that many here are on fixed income and are giving the best that they can give. But we need to, as Janice and I do at the end of the year, sometimes I do it without discussing with Janice, but that's another day, another story for another day. but I reassess what we're doing as far as giving compared to what we're taking in. And if I missed anything, then hopefully you make it up. The unique style of the book, and you might want to reread it with this in mind. There's an assertion or statement that's being made. Then there's a question that's asked. An objection is raised about that assertion. And then there's a discussion of the assertion. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Look at chapter 1, 2 through 5. The assertion there is, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Then there's a question. Wherein hast thou loved us? In other words, tell me about it. And then God goes into an explanation. A lot of times, that particular explanation I don't understand as well as thoroughly as they would have understood it. But go down to chapter 2, verse 17 for another one. There are seven of them in the three chapters, I think. Seven of these little discussions back and forth between these imaginary people, I guess, and God, this imaginary question that they ask. Look at verse 17. You wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? So there is a statement made, or an assertion, and then there is a question, and then there is some discussion on it, or there's the objection refuted. In other words, they say, well, you know, just name one time where we were God. And so they name it. Jack P. Lewis, in his booklet, Minor Prophets, Living Word, refers to this style as the dialectic method, for your information. Dialectic. That and probably $1.50 will get you not much of anything. It might get you a paper from some fellow selling it on the street corner. Shelley, in his book by book study of the Old Testament, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, that particular lesson, he refers to this style as the didactic dialectic method. He likes to be a little fancier. Didactic dialectic. So there's a particular method that is called this way of teaching, these methods of teaching, and just recognize it as an unusual way of teaching. Practical lessons of permanent value. I think I've got listed five, but I'll list five on yours. Right. Insincerity in worship insults God. That's true. In case that were true or false statement. Insincerity in worship insults God. And they were insincere. Totally insincere. I mean, will a man rob God? And they all know, where did we rob you? I have no idea what you're talking about, God. I'm oblivious. That's what happens when somebody doesn't read the book. There's no understanding between what God says and what God and what we do as far as seeking to please God. There's a lot of folks that are doing and that think by so doing they're pleasing God, but yet they're not doing what pleases God. They're doing what pleases them. That's what these people were doing. That which they did pleased them. They were satisfied because they had no clue. Had no clue that what they were doing was displeasing God. Our giving is a barometer that measures our spiritual temperature. Our giving is a barometer that measures our spiritual temperature. Now, here in Malachi 3, it talks about their giving, but it could be your using of your talents, your abilities, your time, calling people, serving God as a servant of God. We are ministers of God. It's not the word minister is not capital M in the Bible. It's the word servant. And we're all servants. I just happen to serve as the pulpit servant on this occasion. But we all should be servants. We also should have a particular ministry that we're performing for God. Man returns to God only by man's sincere repentance. The people suffer when their spiritual leaders fail to study and teach all the truth. I mean, if you were my leader, you're my preacher, and you're not studying very much. That doesn't encourage me to study. I mean, Paul could look at Timothy or write to Timothy with good conscience and say, study to show thyself approved unto God. And then in the second book, he says, send me the parchments, which are probably some of the Old Testament writings, or maybe even some, probably the Old Testament writings that were available to it. And number five, one who sins willfully and recklessly cannot please God by elaborate worship. Next week we'll start on between the Testament period. I haven't decided exactly where to go. I got material at home that I'm going to have to study. And probably a few lessons, and we'll be learning together, because I had a teacher, an Irishman, that taught that the only time I've heard it taught. At the school of preaching out in Texas, and he didn't pronounce names the same way I do. And he had a different form of English called Irish English. But anyway, we'll try to get at that. There's a lot of people's names involved that are hard to pronounce in places. If you're here tonight, not a Christian. Why not come to Christ tonight? These people were God's people. But they were, at this period of time in their history, they were not living for God. Are you living for God tonight as a Christian? You've been a Christian, but you are away from God. The point of one of the statements made by Malachi was, God through Malachi was, return to me, and I'll return to you. And notice that when the people would return to God and do that which God, which pleased God, He was going to pour out immeasurable blessings to the people. So if you need to rededicate your life to Christ, you need our prayers, you have the opportunity to come tonight as we stand, as we sing.